This morning's reading is from Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and going until verse 14. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly.
What to do when you can't do what you want to do? That's what we'll be looking at today. And we're looking particularly at Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 1 and verses 1 to 14. I don't know where you are when you're listening to this or watching on YouTube. You could be anywhere in the world, but we're in Surrey, in Frimley, in England. And at the moment, in January 2021, we're subject to a national lockdown due to COVID, and the message is stay at home. Now, this would seem a fairly simple and straightforward message, but there are 22 pages of guidance from the government on what you can and can't do during this period of lockdown. So it might not be quite as simple and straightforward as you might think, but it's clear that there are plenty of things that we can't do that we might want to do. The lockdown's obviously going to last for some weeks, although perhaps we're not quite sure of when it's going to end and what an end might actually mean. The media refers to this as lockdown 3. Because obviously we must have had lockdown 1 and 2 before it. So we obviously have some experience of what to do when we can't do what we want to do. In the first lockdown, Visit England came up with 50 things that you could do during lockdown. You can still find these on the Visit England website. It includes take virtual tours of England's top attractions, hang out with animals on your sofa, stream theatre events and concerts, or learn something new. If you visit their website and find the page, then you can find the links to all of these things, 50 different things that you can do during lockdown. Of course, many people found things to do during the first lockdown. Perhaps the most publicised example is that of Captain Tom Moore, who decided to raise funds for the NHS charity by walking up and down his garden. He set out to make a target of £1,000 when he began, and ended up making over 28 million. And as a result, he became a Guinness World Record holder, and subsequently, of course, became Captain Sir Tom Moore. Many other people also decided to raise funds for charity, but perhaps these weren't so well publicised. At Tier Fund, they offered the opportunity to raise funds for them by climbing the equivalent of Kilimanjaro by going up your stairs. So, of course, this is quite tough. In 28 days, you'd have to go up your stairs 76 times in order to reach the target. And a friend of ours did that for Tier Fund and raised money for them. You can still do this, but a word of caution, it can be very hard on the knees. So do take care if you're going to do this. Make sure you're fit and able before you make the attempt. You obviously wouldn't go up Kilimanjaro without making sure you were fit and well to do it before going. I have to say that I didn't do any of the 50 things that Visit England suggested, nor did I climb Kilimanjaro or do any other fundraising. What I did, though, instead, was I went back to my school days and decided to take up one of my second languages from school. And so I started doing Russian again online, and I've been keeping that up. In another 50 years, I'll probably be fluent in Russian. But I'm not holding my breath, and I suggest you don't hold your breath either for that. Of course, there are many reasons why some people can't do what they might want to do. Some of you might recognise this lady. This is Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny was paralysed from a diving accident in her early 20s and is quadriplegic. This means that she has to rely on other people to do many, many of the ordinary daily activities and tasks that we all take for granted. But despite of not being able to do what she might want to do, Johnny was used by God to establish a ministry to serve people who have disabilities. What you may not know, because it hasn't been publicised much in the UK, is that Johnny contracted COVID just before Christmas last year. And as reported by this American website, was asking for prayer for her recovery. Here's someone who's not as well known as Johnny, and I suspect that many of you, probably all of you, have never heard of Dirk van Zylen. Dirk was a man who worked for a Christian organisation, working with students in universities in the UK. I heard him speak when I was a student in the 1970s. At that time, it was unusual to hear Dirk speak, because at that time Dirk had suffered from kidney failure, and he spent many hours a week on a dialysis machine in hospital. He told us that people would often ask how his ministry was going when he spent so much time on a dialysis machine, and his reply was that it was never more fruitful. In the days long before mobile phones, the internet, or even a Sony Walkman, there was very, very little to do on a dialysis machine in hospital. But one thing that Dirk could do, and did do, was to pray. To pray for all the students that he knew, and to pray for students that he had not yet met. He wasn't able to do the things that he might want to do, but he could pray. And that's what he did. If we look at Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, Paul writes this: "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." as Paul is writing this letter, he is a prisoner. He is in chains. There are many things that he cannot do. But that didn't mean that he could not be used by God, or that his ministry could not advance because of the restrictions placed upon him. So what did Paul do when he couldn't do what he wanted to do? The first thing that Paul did was to write a letter of encouragement, a letter to the church at Philippi. The writer to the Hebrews wrote this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Some translations say, stir one another up towards love and good deeds. The Message puts it this way. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. So as we're in lockdown, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. We may not be meeting together in a building as we normally do to worship, but let's be inventive in how we can still worship together. We need to think about how we can do these things. Perhaps you might like to write a letter of encouragement to someone, or send them a card. You might think it's a bit old school in this day and age, putting pen to paper. But sometimes the written word on paper can mean more to someone than an email or a text. You could think about phoning someone and having a chat. Someone maybe that you've not seen for quite a while due to COVID. There are many things that we could do to encourage one another. Let's think about it. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. The second thing that Paul did was he gave thanks for people. He writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He gave thanks to God every time he remembered them. I wonder if that is how we feel about everyone in the church when we remember them. Do we always feel that we want to thank God for them? We're all different. Some people we might find more likeable than others. Some have more in common with us than others. Some we might find a bit on the prickly side. Do we thank God for every one of them? God made each one of us. We're all a work in progress. Let's thank God for everybody. God put us together in a church for a reason. Let's work together and encourage one another and give thanks for one another in all circumstances. And the third thing that Paul did was he prayed for people. He writes, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." The Message puts it like this, "Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart." Paul prayed for the people in the church at Philippi. So let's all be praying for one another. There are some simple things that are available to help in prayer. The first one is the daily prayer email. If you don't receive that, then you can contact the church office and we can arrange for you to receive that. That enables you to pray for the people within the church. Then there's the Simply Pray prayer sheet that's mailed out to us. Again, if you don't receive that and you'd like to, then you can ask the office, get in touch with them, and we can organise that for you. And restarting on the 13th of January, the early morning prayer session will now be on Zoom from 7:30 to 8 in the morning. This might be a bit early for you, but on the other hand, it's a good way to start the day. Just half an hour praying with others. So these are just simple things that are there to help us in our prayers. When you receive the daily prayer email, you might find that there are people on there that you don't know too well. You might find there are people on there and you think, I'm not sure what I should pray for that person. Well, let's look at what Paul prayed for the church in Philippi. I think this is a prayer that we can use for anyone, whether we know them well or little. Paul writes, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And the message puts it like this. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, beautiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Wouldn't it be great if we could have over 100 people praying for us in this way? Wouldn't it be great if our love would flourish and we would love not only much but well? This is a great prayer from Paul. Let's pray for one another. So what did Paul do when he couldn't do what he wanted to do? What can we do? Well, we can encourage one another. Not just the people we know well, but everybody. We can give thanks for one another. Not just the people we like, but everyone. And we can pray for one another. Not just the people in visible roles, but everyone. The people who often serve, unnoticed, not seen. We can encourage, we can give thanks, and we can pray. Lockdown brings many restrictions, but it can also bring opportunities. Not the ones we were perhaps looking for, but perhaps the ones that God wants us to find. So let's not be despondent about our situation, but let's look to God and where He's leading us. What does God want us to do in our current situation? What would be good for us and good for our brothers and sisters? So let's consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's give some thought to it in the coming weeks. And then let's not forget about our thoughts, but let's put them into action. Let's encourage one another, give thanks for one another, and pray for one another.
Before we close our service with some music, let's spend a few moments pondering what John has spoken about this morning, asking God to prompt us as to how and who we can encourage, give thanks, and pray for this week. So a moment of quiet reflection. Lord, please stir us up, that we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. For your glory we ask it, in Jesus' name. Amen.